My name is Taylor Huey. I am 14 years old. Today is January 1st, 2019, and I am speaking with Sylvia Huey, who is my grandmother, and we are recording this interview in Cerritos, California. Where were you born?
I was born in China, Hong Kong.
Can you tell me about your father? Like, I know he was Korean, and he grew up with his dad as a scholar, but why was he in China, and like, what was his job?
Well, the thing is that when in Korea at that time, it was occupied by the Japanese, and then his father did not like to be under the Japanese rule, so that when my father was 15 years old, my grandfather decided to bring his family away from Korea. That means next to go is China.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about how you had to escape the wars in China?
I was born in Hankou, and then I stayed there for 3 years. And then the Japanese came from the north of China and started to invade it where I was living. So we had to retreat kind of to another place, mm-hmm. so that you won't be kind of under the Japanese rule.
Yeah. There were a lot of air raids, right?
Yeah, well, over the time during the war, as we are retreating, there's the different cities that we live in, there's always air raids. And so when we hear the air raid, and we have to find shelters. And sometimes you may not have the chance to get to a shelter, you may just stay in the house. And then, but staying, and you can see all the bombs, you know, dropping all around you, and the building shake.
Mm-hmm.
So, but on the other hand, the human lives is never predictable,
mm-hmm.
and you never know that you were going to be hit or not. And so at the end of the air raid, we usually have to kind of get home and gather all the members to find out we're all right.
Mm. Was there any time that you thought you weren't going to make it to a shelter?
Well, I'm not sure, because I was really too young to know.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that, but even we cannot get to the shelter, we just had to go under the eaves and things like that. But we have seen, you know, bombs dropping very close to us, but it's very scary. You know, I keep on saying, I'm scared, you mm-hmm. know, looking at it. But fortunately, we're all right.
And you were just traveling on foot through China, just walking everywhere?
Not really. If there's any transportation, we will use the transportation, but usually there's not much at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we have bicycles, sometimes we have to walk, and then occasionally, if there's water, we will be living on the rafts along the water going down.
Mm-hmm. How long was it before you started to settle down in China and stopped having to be on the run from the war?
Actually, the thing is that I think up to the Second World War, starting of the Second World War, because China and Japan had a war 5 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so after the Second World War started, and I think there were maybe the Japanese were diverting kind of focus on different places in mm-hmm. the bigger cities. So in the smaller cities that we may not have to be as careful in that way. And then we were closer to the Chinese border and Hong Kong. And that was half occupied by the Japanese and watch over and all, but they don't occupy it as such to rule it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the last 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think earlier you told me about the school's education wasn't very nice. It was really rudimentary.
Well, the thing is that because we are not in the big cities, we are a lot of time in the villages, so it's like the old schoolhouse, and you really don't have too many different grades and specialties and every kind of things like that. So we just go to school, and then the teacher will teach you some language and that kind of things. It's not much of an opportunity to have any diverse education.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as we can learn to read and write Chinese, I think that's about all that we could do.
Mm-hmm. And you decided to go to nursing school right after high school. Why did you decide to do that?
The reason why is that Hong Kong, after the war, it was everybody was piling to Hong Kong. It's overpopulated, and there was only two nursing schools in university taking students, and then we have a lot of students graduating, and so I mean the one possibility is to go to England to do nursing. So then I just, because my friends are going, so I thought I may as well go along with them too.
Mm-hmm. Did you always think that you would be a nurse or someone taking care of other people?
No, I never dreamt that I would be a nurse, because I don't like seeing people sick. I did not like to see even dead birds or anything, animals. And then I didn't like to see blood. So that I wasn't a good candidate.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is that I didn't know what else I could do when I was in Hong Kong. And I thought, well, if I go far enough, away enough, it's hard for me to say I give up and go home. So I kind of forced myself to go far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
And then so no matter how bad and how difficult it is, I have to endure it and finish instead of admitting that I couldn't make it.
Mm. Were you sad to leave your family?
Yes, I was sad to leave my family, but on the other hand, though, I just wanted to do something by myself because I have two older sisters,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of overshadow me quite a bit, and I just was under them all the time. They, the popularity-wise, and then the education-wise and all that, they always seemed to be better than I was,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, no, I don't want to be the underdog all the time. So I thought I will go far away and nobody can compare me with them.
Mm-hmm. How did you keep up with your grades and stuff, always having to move from one village to another?
I really wasn't keeping up my grades too much. You know, I'm sure that I learned the reading and writing, but anything else, I wasn't that good. So when I went to Hong Kong, finally after the Second World War, and we were supposed to settle down, and then I went to a Chinese school 1 year, a private school, because not that many public schools. And then I tried to transfer to one of those Catholic religious schools, which is supposed to be better. And
mm-hmm.
and the thing is that I you know, we had to get the test, and then I got admitted, but it was not easy, you know, it
mm-hmm.
was not easy. Everything, when they were teaching, they were going according to grades, but sometimes I never learned what it was to start with, and
mm-hmm.
I used to have to backtrack a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to study until 2 o'clock in the morning, get up at 5 in the morning to do my test, and when I get there, I still wasn't doing that good.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So you took a boat to England, right, for
yes.
nursing school. And when you got to nursing school, what was the experience like?
Well, it was in the winter time in December. There was snow and everything that I did not experience before. But that was okay. And then the buildings are so old, without any central heating, it was really cold.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that I have a lot of sweaters and jackets on, socks, double socks, and all kinds of things
mm-hmm.
like that. And the food is not really what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to keep myself full, I used to eat a lot of bread just to
mm-hmm.
buy a... And so I put on a lot of weight when I first got there
wow.
because I was eating so much starch. But the thing is that gradually I get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard not being able to speak fluent English?
Oh, yes. It's kind of, that's why I was so quiet, because a lot of time if I didn't know what I could say
mm-hmm.
or I know how to say it, I just kept quiet and I just kind of listened to people.
Mm-hmm.
And try to catch what they are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then even though they are all, you know, they are speaking English, but they come from different countries too.
Yeah.
I have school mates coming from France, Poland, Damascus, and Scandinavian and all. They speak English, but they got
mm-hmm.
accents. And so besides not good at English with the accent, I was really having a hard time to understand them.
Did you have any friends who would help you out?
Oh, yes. That's just one fortunate thing. As I was in the ship, I met a medical student, and he was going to London to finish his last year of medical school. And then he's got two friends. They share an apartment in London.
Mm-hmm.
One is a lawyer, the other one is a surgeon. And so on my days off, and then I have three best friends that who went 3 months before I did.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we have a day off, we used to visit them. And then they will coach me. So this friend, the student, the medical student, and the surgeon, they used to explain to me about physiology, anatomy, and all the classes that I was. So they were, every time I went there, actually that was my private lesson time.
That's nice. Going back to on the ship to England, did you have any difficulties getting to England? Because I imagine like having to run away and escape every couple of weeks from the war, you must like not have any birth certificate or anything, right?
Well, the thing is that, yes, I did not have a birth certificate, but the thing is that my father was Korean, and then he kind of made a name for himself pretty well. So when after the war and after the, the Koreans had the independence away from the Japanese, and so they started different consulates in different places, and they know that my father was there. He was kind of familiar with China and everything, so they have asked him to help, and through him I got a Korean passport.
Oh.
And that's how I could travel to England.
That's cool. Is there like one thing that you really miss about either China or England that you remember from your childhood?
About what? What do you say? I'm sorry.
Is there just one thing about your childhood from China that you might miss, like an experience or a toy or something?
Well, actually, I never had any toy, and in all my life, I never even had a doll. But the thing is that we just grew up, we just don't have that kind of luxury.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just play our games, hopscotch, and did that kind of things. And then, of course, you know, I always liked dancing, and I always dream about learning how to dance. But, of course, I had never had the chance to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then I like singing, too. And then, of course, I didn't have the chance to learn that, too.
So you've moved around quite a bit, huh?
Yes, I have. You know, I mean, for my formative years, I moved around, but I can't remember exactly where I've been.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I was in the western part of China, and then the southern part of China, and we even went to the border of Vietnam for a little while, and then went back to China again. So it was kind of, never could tell anybody where my permanent home has been.
Mm. Overall, is there like one lesson that you could take from all of your experiences? Like anything that you would want to tell? Maybe if you could go back in time to your younger self?
Well, the thing is that I was just saying, with all the opportunity I had and everything, I can see that some people made it, some people did not. But one thing about it for me is that I know if I don't work hard on my own, nobody is going to help me to get to where I want to go. So I know that once I weigh everything very carefully,
mm-hmm.
and once I make up my mind that what I want to do, and I want to be sure that I'm successful in that way.
Wow, thank you. Mm. Thank you for telling your story. That was very interesting.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope that it make you understand me a little bit more.
Yeah, I never knew so many things about you.
Oh, well. Now you know. There was a lot of other stories too, that I had good times and I got bad times, but we can talk another time. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Is it